Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, June 20th, today marks World Refugee Day, raising awareness of the daily struggles faced by refugees worldwide. Tensions between the United States and Iran continue to rise, and today the Church celebrates the Feast of Corpus Christi. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. The 20th of June marks UN World Refugee Day, which serves to raise awareness of the struggles refugees face in their daily lives. Pope Francis himself has made it a cornerstone of his pontificate to highlight the plight of migrants and refugees. According to the United Nations, around 25 people every minute have to leave everything behind in search for a better and safer life. Commemorating the day, the UN Refugee Agency, or UNHCR, is thanking mayors in numerous cities across some 50 countries for adding their support to a global statement of welcome and inclusiveness for families forced to flee. Lydia O'Kane has more.
The Cities with Refugees initiative was launched last year, and in that time, 172 cities have stepped up to the plate and signed a statement of welcome and inclusiveness for refugees in their communities. This news may be a cause for celebration, but new findings highlight how much work there is still to be done. According to UNHCR's newly released annual Global Trends report, 61% of all refugees and 80% of internally displaced people live in urban areas. And there's more. The findings also show that the number of people displaced by war, conflict or persecution has doubled in the past 20 years. Faced with growing levels of forced displacement and xenophobia around the world, cities including Paris, Lahore, Bucharest, Vancouver and Atlanta are appealing to other mayors to welcome and include refugees in their communities. Earlier this year, Pope Francis invited the city of Rome to use its energies to welcome and integrate people from Italy and all over the world by fostering brotherhood and creating opportunities for the civic, cultural, economic and social development of all without fearing goodness and charity. In a tweet to mark World Refugee Day, Pope Francis said, "With refugees, divine providence offers us an opportunity to build a more supportive, more fraternal society and a more open Christian community according to the gospel."
Dr. Martina Liebsch is Director of Advocacy at the Catholic Development Agency Caritas Internationalis. She is also responsible for their campaign Share the Journey, which puts a spotlight firmly on the issue of migration. Dr. Liebsch spoke with us about why it is so important to observe this World Day.
I think it is helpful because, first of all, as the colleague from UNHCR this morning showed us, it's the moment where they inform us with new figures. So the focus of our attention on that day is on the figures, but it's also to remind forgotten crises, places where they are refugees, where nobody talks about it, reminding as well of all the internally displaced people, because that's another reality which very little people know, that the number of internally displaced is much bigger than that of refugees. So what's happening with them? And also, as it was said this morning, what kind of offers can we give to vulnerable groups so that they are in security and in safety? So the case of resettlement was mentioned. And it's really, at least among the NGO community, it's a shame that people say you have these little figures in spite of the big needs of resettlement, little figures in comparison to the big need of resettlement. If there would be a way of equally distributing these numbers, it would probably not be such a big burden and you would help quite a number of people.
That was Dr. Martina Liebsch, the Director of Advocacy at the Catholic Development Agency Caritas Internationalis. The Iranian military has shot down an American surveillance drone as tensions between the two countries escalate. Nathan Morley reports.
The drone, which is capable of reaching high altitudes, was a state-of-the-art surveillance aircraft. It was shot out of the sky by an Iranian army surface-to-air missile sometime on Thursday morning, but there was initially some uncertainty about its location. Iran said that the drone had entered its territory near the Strait of Hormuz, whilst America insisted it was flying through international airspace. Tensions continued to rise in the region last weekend when Saudi Arabia joined the United States in pointing the finger of blame at Iran for recent attacks on oil tanks in the Gulf of Oman. Iran described the accusations as being unfounded and then accused the United States of aggressive behavior. Both ships were struck at dawn last Thursday by what U.S. military officials believe were mines. Then on Monday, Washington announced the deployment of 1,000 extra troops to the region in response to what they described as hostile behavior by Iranian forces. This comes in addition to an aircraft carrier and B-52 bombers which are already in the region. Mike Pompeo, the U.S. Secretary of State, has said that U.S. pressure on Iran has been very effective.
Communicating to Iran that we are there to deter aggression. President Trump does not want war, and we will continue to communicate that message while doing the things that are necessary to protect American interests in the region, world. That's why we put in place the pressure campaign that's now been ongoing for a year and a couple months. It's been very effective.
Tensions were further fueled on Monday when Iran announced that its stockpile of low-enriched uranium would exceed the limits it agreed with world powers under a landmark deal in 2015, sometime this coming week. However, it is thought, according to some reports, that the US President Donald Trump is eager to calm down the tension, fearing it may spill over into an outright conflict. For Vatican News, this is Nathan Morley reporting.
North Korea have just received a donation of 50,000 tons of rice and $4.5 million from its southern neighbor after severe drought has affected around 2 million people. Hervé Berussel from the World Food Programme spoke to Daniel Johnson of UN News about food shortages in Korea.
More than 10 million people in North Korea are in need of urgent food assistance. That's why the support was confirmed today by the Republic of South Korea is an important first step. We need more than 300,000 metric tons of food. That's a value of $275 million. That's why today we call additional donors to support the humanitarian operation of the World Food Programme in North Korea.
Maybe you could just explain where the situation is worst. I'm imagining it's not in the big urban centres, it's in the rural regions and children are particularly hard hit.
Correct. It's in the countryside, it's in the rural part of the country. Why? Because obviously those parts of the country very depend of the production of the harvest, and the harvest was the worst in 10 years. We have food deficit of 1.36 million metric tons in the country, and like you say, especially women and young children are the most vulnerable in those regions, and we will of course try to focus to those regions for the support to the 1.5 to 2 million people that we will reach thanks to the South Korean government.
That was Hervé Berussel from the World Food Programme speaking there to Daniel Johnson of UN News. Pope Francis travels to Naples on Friday to take part in a conference that will discuss the impact of his apostolic constitution Veritatis Gaudium on theological studies. The event takes place within an initiative that brings experts to the table to discuss theology in connection with the current context in the Mediterranean area, which is impacted by migration, interculturalism, and is in need of interreligious and ecumenical dialogue. The event is hosted by the Jesuits who run the Pontifical Theological Faculty of Southern Italy in Naples. The dean of the faculty, Jesuit Father Pino Di Lucio, told us more about the event and about his expectations.
After analysing some characteristics of the new context of the Mediterranean, for example, the immigration and the interculturality, the culture of dialogue between religions and through the means of art will be proposed as a way, according to the document of Abu Dhabi on the human fraternity, and assuming the criteria of the Veritatis Gaudium for the renewal of the ecclesiastic studies, to elaborate a theology for the new context of the Mediterranean. we expect that the Pope himself, who is proposing the dialogue as a way of building a new society, a fraternal society, he will show us how this dialogue can be actualized in the studies of theology in order to elaborate a new theology in the context of the Mediterranean.
That was Jesuit Father Pino Di Lucio. And finally, today is the solemnity of the most holy body of and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, known familiarly as Corpus Christi. The feast is set for the Thursday following Trinity Sunday, although in many places, including in Italy, it is transferred to the following Sunday. Christopher Wells tells us more about the feast dedicated to the Blessed Sacrament.
The Feast of Corpus Christi was celebrated for the first time in the year 1246 in the Diocese of Liège in what is now Belgium. The feast had been promoted especially through the efforts of St. Juliana of Mount Cornelius. Later, in 1264, Pope Urban IV extended the feast to the whole Latin Church, although it was some time before Corpus Christi was celebrated universally. In his bull establishing the Feast of Corpus Christi, Pope Urban wrote that the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist was instituted by Jesus on Holy Thursday at the Last Supper. However, because Holy Thursday is focused on the agony of the Lord, along with the blessing of chrism, the washing of feet, and the foundation of the priesthood, Urban felt it was appropriate to establish a special feast dedicated exclusively to the Blessed Sacrament. To this end, he chose the first Thursday following Trinity Sunday, which at the time marked the end of Paschaltide, as the day for the celebration of the feast. The solemnity of the body and blood of the Lord celebrates the Church's faith in the Blessed Sacrament. In his encyclical Mysterium Fidei on the Holy Eucharist, Pope St. Paul VI reminds us that the Church's voice, which constantly echoes the voice of Christ, assures us that the way in which Christ becomes present in the sacrament is through the conversion of the whole substance of the bread into his body, and of the whole substance of the wine into his blood, a unique and truly wonderful conversion that the Catholic Church fittingly and properly calls transubstantiation. Because of this real presence, Pope Paul says, the Church has always displayed and still displays this worship that ought to be paid to the sacrament of the Eucharist, both during Mass and outside of it, by taking the greatest possible care of consecrated hosts, by exposing them to the solemn veneration of the faithful, and by carrying them about in processions to the joy of great numbers of the people, all features of the Feast of Corpus Christi. In his encyclical, Pope Paul VI urges his fellow bishops to take up this faith in the Blessed Sacrament and to preserve it in its purity and integrity among the people entrusted to your care and vigilance, with all false and pernicious opinions being completely rejected. And he says, we beseech you to foster devotion to the Eucharist, which should be the focal point and the goal of all other forms of devotion.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks go to Patrizio Cipriani in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.